Welcome to the September 13th edition of the Zuch and Wild show. You're going into week three, Zuch. Welcome back. How was did we already talk about your trip to Georgia, or can we jump straight into my trip?
We didn't talk about it, but it was, I mean, I'll be quick. It was a good trip. Long ways away, very, very hot game. Like three or four people had to get medical attention to deal with the heat, but it was a fun game. They had a good crowd. Got barked at a couple times by Georgia fans, but that's how it goes.
No, we're glad you're back from a much needed vacation. That's a perfect segue into thank you everyone who watched online. I know we were talking about it a lot last week. The settle down trip to Eugene, super, super fun. It was incredible. Our friend Eamon hosted us. You know, unfortunately, though, the game fell short, and that's where we're going to start this show, is that Oregon escapes another one, Zuch. They escape again. And, you know, watching that team in person, it almost is like Boise and Oregon are two very similar teams in the fact that they do some things extremely well and some things they do at a below average level that is going to be a detriment to their team at some point. And watching Oregon's O-line, and you know, Boise's D-line is not the worst, but certainly by any means not the best in the country. In fact, they are probably, what would you say Boise's D-line is? About as average as you can get. I mean, they have their moments, but about as average as you can get. And they had five sacks. They gave up five sacks. It was incredible, but they escape again, but they continue to drop in the rankings, but they escape again.
Hey, I mean, a win's a win, especially if you're a team like that. I don't think that's the case for, like, maybe us, but maybe Liberty. Like, a win's not a win. Like, barely beating New Mexico State's not going to look great probably at the end of the year. But, yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I was able to – I think you'll agree. It's a little different watching a game in person than it is at home. Like at home, you see like little things. And I noticed with Oregon, offensive line is they got to fix that because they could have had – I still think they could have pretty much scored on every drive. They just couldn't.
They could not defend 15s. And, you know, for the most part, you know, Boise, you know, they were mixing in a couple blitzes, but, you know, it wasn't a lot of jailhouse blitzes. You know, Oregon, if you're an Oregon fan, you have one thing to kind of rest your hat on, is that the explosivity on the defensive end, special teams end, and offensive end still play into effect. They have playmakers all over the field. Now, for Boise, on one end, I feel like, of course, what they did well was just run the ball with Ashton Jeanty. But we knew that going in. What Boise State, what eats you up is that two things. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on one of them. The one that you're not going to correct me is special teams is a problem. It's been a problem for 3 years at Boise State. For the people who don't watch Boise State winning week in and week out, it has been a problem for 3 years. They have gone through multiple coordinators. Zuch, I'm gonna pose a question to you. At some point, is it just a lack of depth and not putting people in the right positions on special teams rather than a scheme? Or do you think it is the scheme?
I think probably a little of both. And this might be, I don't think it's a hot take. I kind of came out of that a little more worried about Boise than I am Oregon that game, even though it was close. Because I was like I said, I watched it at home, and I was like taking notes or whatever for the podcast. And do you have like just take a guess at what our longest drive was in the second half?
Our longest minutes wise or yards wise?
Yards wise.
I'm gonna guess it was that 35-40 yarder off the fumble, right? Like 30 yards, 40 yards.
So the longest was the long Jeanty run. The 70-yard,
yeah, okay,
Jeanty run. We had 8 total drives in the second half. We got 70 yards on that one drive. We had 80 yards on the other 7 drives.
That's not good.
I think, it's not good. And like, I know a lot of Boise fans are like, oh, we should have won. We should have won. You allowed two special teams touchdowns. The big plays are still a problem. Like that, I mean, I think everyone at Oregon's touchdowns was like 30 yards or more, except Dylan Gabriel had the one read option, but that was off of like a 70-yard pass, like the 3-yard line. So those are things, and I understand that there's not going to be a team as good as Oregon, most likely, that Boise State plays the rest of the year. I mean, factually, basically. But those are things that have hung around. Like you said, the special teams has been a yearly thing now. The secondary has been, I mean, towards the end of the game, I don't remember. I think they ended up punting it, but Dylan Gabriel missed two touchdown passes.
Yeah, no, I was just going to bring that up.
One of their drives, and
yeah,
the passing for Boise State, we all know Ginty's going to be great. Obviously, passing has to improve, defense has to improve, special teams has to improve. Ginty is not going to be enough to make you finish 11-1. He's just not. He's great, going to be a high draft pick, all that stuff. But you're going to have a game or a couple games where he's kind of going to get shut. I mean, it's going to happen. I know Boise State fans think, oh, like he's going to run over most people in the Mountain West. I agree. But you do not deserve to
be
a top 10 team if you allow two special teams touchdowns, complete like 40-something percent of your passes, and allow four or five touchdowns of basically over 30. Like,
yeah,
that's what annoyed me about the game is I did not think Boise State played especially well. They had moments. But you are not going to win every game playing
100% great
in moments. You're still allowed. I mean, you allowed. Granted, two of them were special teams touchdowns, and yeah, they were great in the run game. I think we had over like 225 yards, something like that. But that stuff has to improve, or you're going to see those losses you have over the past few years. And for Oregon, you're not going to have those big plays that they had the other night against Ohio State, or I mean, USC's defense looks a lot better this year. So USC, like, they're going to play much, much tougher defenses than Boise State. So they have a little more wiggle room as to where, like, they could probably have two losses and they're in the playoff. But I mean, yeah, I don't know what's going on with their line.
I would be very afraid of that Big Ten schedule. Yeah, the last thing I'll say about this game is that the Maddox-Madsen situation, not a problem yet. If you see that stat line when he plays a Mountain West school and God forbid they lose, even with Genty over 100 yards and a couple touchdowns, there are going to be rumblings. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think when I watch Maddox play in person, he makes every right decision. It's just sometimes the play is not made, whether the ball is a smidgen off or whether the receiver doesn't come down with the catch. But it's not, I mean, besides the one we always call it the one Maddox play a game when he almost threw the pick on the screen pass, but that's just what it is. There's the one
six.
the one Maddox play a game, but that's just what happens. I didn't feel like his decision making was bad. It's the execution, and Oregon is a good team. But so if you're Oregon, Big Ten schedule, you got to get things going. And for Boise State, you got to stop the big plays or you're going to blow a game and blow your playoff chances.
You will. And it's just, I'm not saying don't be happy that game went a lot better than games against top 10 opponents have for BSU in quite a few years. I'm not saying that that's untrue, but a lot of the issues that we've seen over the past few years were still there the other night. And you are not going to go 11-1 with that. It's just not going to happen. We see it every year with teams. Like, they'll be talking about, I don't know, like LSU last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example. Heisman Trophy winner on their team.
9-3.
Couldn't stop a nosebleed. Like, that's just, you're not, like, there's going to be games where you get stopped more than the other team gets stopped. And
you
got to improve it.
Just happens. You know what didn't improve is that there's two teams in the country last week, and these are the two games we're going to touch on about week two. That the wheels maybe are the wheels falling off in Boulder, and is the sky falling in South Bend? We had Colorado Boulder get absolutely embarrassed in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we had I can't believe I'm going to say this, the NIU Huskies going in the South Bend and beating Notre Dame Zouch. I kind of want to get your opinion on kind of two different, very different types of programs and the way they're running, two losses that, you know, Notre Dame definitely wasn't expecting this loss. Maybe Colorado in their own minds wasn't expecting this loss, but the rest of the country maybe gave them more leeway. It was more how they lost. And I want to give you this question. What team do you think has a better chance of rebounding this year? Is it Notre Dame or is it Colorado?
So with Notre Dame, I personally really like Marcus Freeman. I think he has to quit losing those types of games, though. Like, you had the Marshall one.
Yeah.
You had this one. I don't – like, I mean, if they – I remember just being, like, furious last year because they should have beaten Ohio – should have beaten Ohio State, but you also should – if a ball hits you right in the hands and you're an offensive back, you should catch it and the game's over. Mm-hmm. So you had that one like that last year. You had the Marshall game. It's just like – I think it's pretty clear with Notre Dame what the issue is, and it's Riley Leonard. Like, he has no touchdown passes. And I go – He's not bad. He had a terrible injury last year, and I don't know that he's fully recovered. Like, I mean, like, everyone.
Do you think Notre Dame could have got someone else in the transfer portal? Like, I'm not saying, like, let's say they go after like Grayson McCall. There's a lot of guys out there. Even a Taylen Green. Like, do you think if Notre Dame goes after a Taylen Green, they're sitting here? I mean,
I do.
I see their offense, and they're just, they are extremely one-dimensional. They can run the football.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they don't have a back. And the funny thing is, they don't have a back like Genty to carry them. They have some good backs, but right, they don't have that Heisman level back.
Well, and like, that was like, I mean, that's going to eat at them. I think Notre Dame will be fine, because I think if that continues into this week and Notre Dame searched like first half with Purdue, it's like 10-7. Their defense is great. Notre Dame's defense is fantastic. They let up a couple big plays the other day, but I mean, you allow 17 points. Most games are like, oh, we probably won that game. We allowed two touchdowns and a field goal in 60 minutes, but they can't. I understand he's a transfer. It's his last year. You cannot keep rolling with him, though. If the passing, like, there is one that
underthrew
it. And I seriously think it's because of that ankle injury last year. I don't think he has the power in his legs right now that you need to make those types of throws. So I think they are in better position to rebound. I think
the wheels are falling off in Boulder.
So I think with the Boulder thing, a lot of people want them to lose because of how Deion Sanders is, and fair enough. Like, he's an aggressive, like, cocky guy. Like, that's to be expected. I don't necessarily think that if – and he may not even be there next year with his kid leaving and Travis Hunter probably leaving.
Yeah.
But if Notre Dame, if the wheels fall off at Notre Dame and they're 5-7 – that is, Freeman is in way more trouble than Deion Sanders.
I don't think they go 5-7, but do you think, last thing we talk about Notre Dame before we move on to Boulder, but if Marcus Freeman goes 9-3, is he in trouble, misses the playoffs? So they lose to USC, and then they blow another game in between now and USC.
I don't think he's in trouble. I think people would be disappointed with how good that, I mean, like I said, the defense is great. Like, their corners are out of this world. Like, truly,
they got NFL guys on every level. But, and can I say one thing about, we're going to shift over to Colorado, but can I say one thing? And it's another question. This is going to be a show of questions, Zouch. Is the country ready for Nebraska fans? this could be another Georgia situation, Zuch. I mean, you and me know Nebraska fans. Pandora's box could be opened. And this is something personally I fear for more than you are more fearful of the Georgia's Pandora's box opening. I am so much more fearful of the Nebraska box that could be opened.
Well, yes, because I mean, I'm starting to get afraid of Nebraska because they have a dork as their quarterback. Truly, he's a dork. I'm sorry, but like the Mahomes thing has gone too far.
He's like Italian Mahomes. He literally is Italian. And someone brought this up. He flipped from Georgia to Nebraska. Nebraska is like 2 hours from Kansas City, and it's an Adidas school, which Patrick Mahomes he's an Adidas athlete. This is becoming too much. Also, they have, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this to this guy because I do love Matt Rhule, but Matt Rhule is also a little bit of a dork, let's be honest. But they won.
they could, like, I was looking at their schedule when I was taking notes for the show.
They could be 7-0.
They're going to get game day here soon. And I think it might be before the Ohio State game. I think it might be if they and Rutgers are both undefeated. I think game day might go.
That would be a sneaky good matchup. Yeah, I'm not sure. That would be a terrible uniform matchup. Red Adidas versus Red Adidas. That will be an all. No, but Nebraska, you know, they look good. And Raiola may be a dork, but he's running that offense okay. And it just seems like a lot of guys who are playing for Matt Rhule. On the Colorado side, it looks like a team that's so undisciplined. Like it looks like the team that I watched in that Stanford game last year, where it's just like, what are you doing? It's almost like they are. How do I put this? It's like they are being coached like a peewee team. It's just like, oh, give the ball to him. Oh, give the ball to him. Oh, run this blitz. Like there seems to be no game plan at all. Am I wrong?
I think it comes from. They truly cannot run the football at all. Like, I know a lot of people think it's just Deion wants his kid to look good. I don't think it's as much that as it is they get no yards running the football. Period.
No, they're bad. And you know that they did a lot of they supposedly did a lot of reamping on that offensive line and. It's just a lot of hoopla. And this is why you have to take everything coaches say at media days. And, you know, we talk about it at other schools too, the stars and, oh man, look what school this guy came from. Sometimes there's a reason he's in the transfer portal, you know? Yeah. Sometimes there's you have to, for every transfer portal success story, there's a transfer portal failure story.
Right.
And I don't hope it's happened because I want people and kids to do well. But if they keep playing like this, there's going to be four transfer pay. If they keep playing like this offensive line, there's going to be four transfer portal failure stories on that offensive line.
Right. And so, I mean, I just looked it up. They have 75 yards rushing on 45 attempts.
That's bad.
That is not going to get it done. Like, and it's not even like it's a ton of sack yards. I mean, Sanders has, I mean, maybe it is sacks, but I mean, they're starting running back 14 carries for 52 yards. That's just not going to cut it. So
it's not going to cut it. All right.
They have playmakers. Have playmakers, but you can't get it to them when you're getting. Somebody's 100%. Hitting you in 3 seconds or 3.1 milliseconds.
100%. I'm afraid of the dorks in Nebraska to be released, fans, players, and coaches. But we're going to quickly touch on who we think are just a couple of the biggest winners of last week are before we look on forward to next week. Zuch, I think you already know who my biggest winner of last week was. And it's a double winner. The University of California went down to Auburn and put the licking on those SEC boys. And they didn't know it was coming. Also, Cal Twitter, I was familiar with your game. Cal Twitter just fought the Battle of Bunker Hill against SEC Twitter. And they stood their ground. and won. Actually, Battle of Bunker Hill, the U.S. lost. They just fought their Battle of the Bulge. They were outnumbered and outgunned. The final push by angry Auburn fans. And Cal not only came up on top on the field with a great defensive performance, 5 turnovers, they came on top online too, Zuch. That's my big winner from week two. I know it could have been Nebraska. It could have been NIU. If we're going strictly off game, it's NIU. If we, you know me, if we include Twitter in the online, what makes college football great, Cal wins. What a great win by Cal.
Did you see the guy who rushed the field for Cal?
No, I did not. Wait, what?
He like ran onto the field. I saw him on Cal Twitter because I took a little bit of a nap and then woke up to a Cal man being taken away by the Auburn PD.
Yes.
I almost went with Cal as my biggest winner because I was like, I mean, they might be undefeated when they go play Miami.
Okay, one
weeks.
Thing too, I saw a tweet that said if Cal beats Florida State in, I think, a couple weeks, they have to officially change their name to the Florida State Soyminals. Stop. You need to stop. This needs to stop. Cal Twitter cannot get ahead of themselves now.
Cal Twitter is great because I didn't figure it out until like a year or so ago. And then this, for some reason, this Auburn game, it was just blowing up all over my timeline as just people, some of the Auburn fans did not understand that they were being trolled by the Cal fans. We had a Cal fan say that he demanded that the bar put on CNN. Auburn fans did not like that. But my biggest winner is NIU. I mean, it's a long season, and they probably won't, but if they go undefeated, they're going to the playoff.
Yeah, like you're right. I mean, that would be so crazy. So do you think an undefeated NIU team gets in over a Boise State that, let's say, runs the table and Genty looks incredible?
I think so. I think with that win, I think what it would come down to is they'll
even with
have
all the Genty hype?
Even with all the Genty
I don't know.
Hype, I mean, it would be close, and I know Boise State fans would be mad. But if Notre Dame and Oregon are both, like, say Notre Dame's 10-2, 11-1, they're going to be in the playoff. Oregon will see if they, like we talked about earlier, they can fix their issues, and they're in the playoff. I think it would come down to NIU won their big game.
Dang,
fair or not, I think
that's crazy.
What it would come
well,
down
honestly,
to. Well, honestly,
just
serious,
a good reason
but...
for us to watch Tuesday night action now. If there's like a 24-ranked NIU team playing on Tuesday in October is going to be great. Yeah, that's it for week two. Before we move on to week three, just want to give a quick reminder to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, follow us on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter. We have a Twitter now. It's starting to get a little active. Follow also, me and Zuch on Twitter. If you want to get even more active and you want to start seeing some Cal Twitter stuff, go both follow us and make sure we have merch now. So make sure you go to the link in our social media bios. Check out the merch. We got cool Zuch and Wild merch. I know my brother just bought one in Ole Miss colors, Zuch. So shout out to that. I just got the regular Settle Down shirt because I like the logos we got. But whatever shirt you want, go check that out. All right.
Before we move on to week three, they're not on the list I'm going to talk about later, but Tulane is on one of my lists because I had them and South Carolina because I was not here last week and my upset picks that I sent you. And South Carolina got the deed done. We'll talk more about that later. Tulane, you had control of the game until that fumble.
Also, speaking of, this is a show of questions and dorks. Cannot wear goggles if you're a starting quarterback in the SEC. Cannot wear goggles.
Going to be in for a rude awakening here soon. People are going to see it, and the memes will be flying.
Oh, no. I can just see the Urkel one now. Well, let's move on to week three. And Zuch, I've sensed that – so week three is kind of the spot in the college football season. It's starting to get going. There's a lot of teams. It's kind of like the make or break. It's the stat, right, where like the 2-1 or like if you go 2-2, like you cannot fall to 1-2 or 2-3 in football. Like it's just the way it goes. I know the NFL has that one stat where no team who started like less than 2-2 has won the Super Bowl. I think the same can be said about college football. But Zuch, I hear you have a list for us. And this list is for people you think are done, or people you think need to step it up or could be done, or did some things in the first 2 weeks that, if things don't change, they are the meme, big losers, or just needs their accounts deleted because of the stuff they've been posting. So Zuch,
okay,
take it away with your list.
So this list begins with, and they're being a little cocky now, they still have a hard schedule, defense looks great, South Carolina. There was a certain tweet by a member of your fan base, and I'll just tell people, go type in, it's third and long, Kentucky fans, on Twitter, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know the exact one you're talking about. That was one, and let's just say Gamecock Nation was torn. But again, and also, I totally agree with this, like South Carolina, you're 2-0, not convincing, haven't played P4 teams yet. Zuch, who's the next on your list?
Next on my list, Auburn. For the simple reason that Peyton Thorne didn't have a great day against Cal, but certain account, I'm not going to say who it was, you can find it yourself, said, Peyton Thorne makes me want to kill myself more than Brian Harsin did.
Yep. Whoa. Me. Also, did you see Brian Harsin with just the troll job of the century? Now, I've said a lot of things about Brian Harsin, but I can applaud a good troll job when I see them, where the second after Auburn loses, he just posts the coffee mug, goes like, winners, make sure to seize the day, always be a winner. At least 100 quote tweets. Tiger Nation, War Eagle was not doing all right. Also, they're still blaming Brian Harsin for a problem that is so obvious, like a quarterback problem. Like, right. Hugh Freeze, like, you have a good NIL, and Hugh Freeze seems to be a good coach that they're bought into. Like, the best you can do is Peyton Thorne. So, I don't know. There's a lot of calls in Auburn to play the young kid, though. They want Peyton Thorne benched. What would you do if you're Auburn?
I don't know, because, I mean, I was relatively high on Auburn going into this year, but their offense just, it's kind of like Notre Dame. Like,
that's what I called. I knew Peyton Thorne. I wanted to believe as much as you, Zuch, because I saw the athletes on their defense and running game. But like quarterback, I saw Peyton Thorne play last year in person, and I can't get fully bought in on the guy. Zuch, is there anyone else on your list?
There is one more team, and it hits close to home. An Ole Miss fan tweeted a picture of he's going to remain nameless, a picture of a former player with, I can't think of the guy's name now. I'm blanking on his name. The Epstein.
Oh, no.
And did not call him by his first name, called him something else. QJ are his initials, but he used those initials, but not that name. So, unfortunately, I had to put them on this list. And the last team is Cal. Cal Twitter, they're in the ACC now, undefeated right now. They're getting themselves out there. I hope it continues for them.
Like I said, Florida State Soyminoles, that's the border. You have to be careful now. They're starting to get close. But, yeah, just remember, this is also, I don't know, should we make that a weekly segment? I like that. The list. Because there's too many times where the way that Twitter is now is that it's not just you're following that season. If you're in tune with college football like we are, I will see random tweets. I saw a tweet last week about Auburn. I'm not on Auburn Twitter. I've been on Arizona Twitter before. Right now, oh my gosh, I'm on one right now that I just saw the other day that was like insane. I was like, why am I seeing this? Oh my gosh, this is going to kill me. Arizona State. It was Arizona State Twitter. What are we doing? It was like Sun Devil, like lover, whatever. So this is going to happen. All you fans who just tweet out stuff on your burners, we love the burnerverse, but just know you will get called out on this show and get put on Zuch's list.
Yep, you are on the list.
Zuch, I want to get just a couple of like your best matchups. There's a lot of good matchups.
This week. I was surprised at how many, they might not be ranked, but they're good games.
Yeah. I think we should start with the best one, in my opinion. And it's the Friday night game. How often is it the best game is the one on Friday night? And that's Kansas State versus Arizona. This is a game of, I think, quarterbacks that their fan bases know and love and that are elite. But the rest of the country may not be as familiar with Fiftia and Avery Johnson.
Also, speaking of Avery Johnson, the comparisons of him to the little girl from Remember the Titans, those also need to stop.
This has got to stop. You know, we get on Twitter because it was supposed to connect us with other people and, you know, hang out and find people who shared the same interests as us. Now I got to look. You're telling me they're calling Avery Johnson the defensive coordinator's daughter from Remember the Titans?
Yes, and somebody, not only that, somebody said, because he had a frown on his face, they go, oh, somebody's dad must have gotten replaced by the first black coach in the school's history. That was...
This is just unbelievable, this app. We need to start tagging Joe Biden, the FBI, Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, the CIA, Homeland Security, TSA, the National Guard. Everyone needs to get brought in because there are some people in this app. And they're lucky that it's college football. I think, and this is, again, dangerous game here with the Burnerverse. As college football starts to get more popular, I think people are starting to peek in through what was once the shadows. These people used to live in the shadows. And now it's being shared more. And I'm worried. But I think this game is going to be great. It's a Friday night game. I think it's going to come down to McMillan. I mean, it's so simple to say, but it really is going to be, can the Arizona offense overcome for their, let's just say, average defense? Because K-State's got a great defense. So it's, how's that Arizona offense going to match up with that defense? That's what I'm the most excited about.
I'm just excited that we get, this is like almost, I know there's other games on Friday, but this is almost like a standalone game. And it's two, like a decent amount of people picked one of these two teams, if not both, to make the playoffs. So like you win this game and you're 3-0, you look at the rest of your schedule, you're like, hey, we finished this thing 7-2.
The weirdest part about this game is that it's not a Big 12 matchup. So like very well, like this game could be a rematch. This could be a little precursor for the Big 12 championship. A lot of people predicted. But yeah, this is a game I'm excited about.
That's right. It isn't a Big 12 game, huh? I didn't even think about that.
It is a freaking non-con game. Let's move on to the big early game non-con game. It is Alabama, Wisconsin. Don't know how much time we need to talk about Alabama, Wisconsin, other than the fact that it's two really good teams playing. Am I going to have to watch through the Tyler Van Dyke experience?
You know this game, and I would bet a lot of money that it is something like 13-10 Alabama going into the fourth quarter, and Alabama wins 33-10, 34-10, something like that. That's
the call by Zeus. Let's see it. I don't blame you. I would say they blow up the game a little earlier, maybe the third quarter or like a right before the half, kind of like puts you up 10 or 13 kind of like touchdown. But yeah, this game is something. And you know, all the talk too about like the transfer portal, like this, like, yeah, you get stories like Dylan Gabriel and I guess Quinn Ewers was able to come back for a year. You know, those two guys weren't forced to, you know, have to go to the NFL to try to make money. Cam Ward. But for every one of those stories, you get a Peyton Thorne or a Tyler Van Dyke or a Riley Leonard until he proves me wrong. It's like, why are these guys still playing? Like, even Grayson McCall has looked subpar at times. It's like, why are these? And it's like, no disrespect, but I'm like, it's just, I think we're getting to the point in the transfer portal. Sorry to go off on a little rant. Transfer portal NIL, where it's starting to equal out. Because I think as boosters are like, oh man, we can get Tyler Van Dyke and pay him $200,000. They're starting to ask themselves, is this guy even worth it? It's like there might be a reason why he's in college for 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, and I think you're starting to see that there is a big, big gap between okay to good quarterbacks. I mean, sorry. The okay and good quarterbacks are very far behind great quarterbacks. Great.
Yep.
Like it, and I'm not saying like to be great, you have to be like the Johnny Manziel year or whoever it might be.
No.
But like to me, like someone like Stetson Bennett was great at what he did. He never had to go out and throw for 450 yards to win, but he fit in the system. Knew what his, and I think that is what happens with a lot of these guys is it gets to their head, right? And fair enough, you're 18 to 22 years old, or in the case of Cameron Rising, 45 years old.
Zuch, I had blocked him out of my head. You see how I didn't even bring him up.
But and if that, also, speaking if of guys receding,
if that guy's receding hairline is on my TV screen at 9 a.m. when I watch the Big 12 championship in Arlington, Texas, and I see his stupid helmet that he wears, that no one else wears that helmet, by the way. That's like a custom helmet for his cranium. If I have to see that, you will see me don BYU gear to root against Utah, Zuch. It will go against every fiber of my body, but I will do what is needed to not allow Cam Rising to win a national championship.
Yes, I will make it my only mission to get rid of the transfer portal if Hank Bachmeier beats Ole Miss this Saturday with the Demon Deacons.
In the wise words of Hank Bachmeier, in the wise words of Barstool Big Cat, it's a guy we quote a lot on this show, but there's nothing quite like betting on a college football game and then realizing, oh fuck, Hank Bachmeier's the quarterback.
It happens. There's guys I see all the time. I'm like, I didn't even know that. Like, I had no clue that that guy was. Who was it the other day? TJ Finley. I was like, what in God?
Can I say something that might be unpopular and that might give me some hate?
Yeah.
Malik Murphy has turned into that guy for me. I'm sorry. Malik Murphy has just turned into that guy for me. But
yeah, there's too many of them. Too many.
Back to the game. Yeah, I think Alabama handles this. Pretty. Do you think Jalen Milroe has a good game, or do you think he continues to be a little shaky?
I think he might start out shaky, but Luke Fickell is a good defensive coordinator, so we'll see. I'll say he has a good game. I'll go with Jalen Milroe has a good game. For some reason, I don't know why Alabama struggles with USF so much. That makes truly no sense to me, but
I think they're just mentally checked out, honestly.
Every team has that random school that's like, why can we not just kill them? So who knows?
Yeah, no, it is true. And Boston College, Missouri is also on. I'm not gonna lie, I picked Missouri to win a lot of games this year. Have them in my playoff. I think this is the first big test for them. I'm not going to touch too much on it because I want to reserve. Let's just say I'm playing the cards close to the chest until after this game. And then I may have, as the listeners may remember, my Cam Ward moment from last year, but with a team again this year, if Mizzou wins. Boston College is good. They got Bill O'Brien, but look for Brady Cook, Eli Drinkowitz. Diet Kirby is what I call him because they both have they both go to the same barber and go to the same visor dealer. But Zuch, any other matchups of next week you want to talk about before we get into our meme matchup of the week?
So I had a couple that I thought could be pretty good games. It'll be interesting to see how the loser of these games, and one of them in particular, reacts. But Tulane, Oklahoma, I think could be a pretty good game. Tulane did play Kansas State pretty well. Oklahoma barely beat Houston, and Houston looks really, really bad. We'll have to have a Cody Boyson check in if Tulane wins. And then, speaking of hot
seats, there will be a moment if Oklahoma loses
to Tulane. Speaking of hot seats, Brian Kelly's seat will be in gasoline, kerosene, and anything else that is flammable if they lose to South Carolina.
And 100%.
So I don't like
you cannot neither one of those. Cannot lose to goggles. Cannot lose to goggles.
No. And neither one of those matchups are like great by any means. I'm not trying to say they are, but I think they're meaningful matchups. You know, that a loss there kind of eliminates Tulane for all intents and purposes from that playoff spot, probably. LSU loses, you're 1-2. You still got Ole Miss. You still got Alabama. Like, they have a pretty hard schedule, so that could turn sour really quick. So we'll see.
We will see. Those are two really good matchups, especially, you know, that LSU South Carolina. Although I have this gut feeling that South Carolina, Beamer Ball now, when he's not getting mad at the chain game for eating hot dogs at halftime, I just felt like Shane Beamer. This is gonna be another programming defining win if he can pull this off. But if he loses, I think South Carolina Cock Nation will start feeling the same way they do every year. Unfortunately, it's just disappointment down there in Columbia. But let's move on to my personal favorite segment of the week, reoccurring segment, Zooch. It is our week 3 meme matchup of the week. You already know, meme matchup. We do it every week where we decide what's a funny matchup between teams, between players, between Twitter fan bases, between ourselves. Who knows what we're talking about with memes of that. So Zooch, what is your meme matchup of the week?
Mine was based on the personalities of these two coaches. It's just what they wear on the sidelines is just like hilarious to like compare them to. And whoever loses this game, the fan base will have a complete come apart. Jay Norvell versus Deion Sanders is a great
you took mine, because this game is also my meme matchup as Colorado State Boulder. I mean, not only I'll let you talk more about the fashion, but not only the fashion, I mainly picked it because Colorado's in a fight or flight. Colorado State is like trying desperately to get like their first win over Colorado. I think this is just going to be like the most undisciplined game of all time. There may be 200 penalty yards in this game. Honestly, there is a real possibility that there is 200 penalty yards.
It's on CBS. So I want to say it's a CBS late night game. Let me look at that.
I think it is too. I think they're tossing this on prime time.
Yeah, 5:30. So it's going to be the late night CBS. So
5:30 Mountain Gary Time Davidson, for all of our country listeners. 5:30 Mountain Time.
So Gary Danielson will be on it, I think, unless he might. Yeah, he'll be on it, because unless there's a Big Ten afternoon game, they would probably, let me see real quick just to make sure.
And this is a game that's in Fort Collins, too. So, you know, those Ram fans, shout out Mitch. You know, those Rams fans are going to be popping out there at Fort Collins, who, I will say something about Colorado State. Best state, they have the largest ratio of best stadium to worst environment in college football. That stadium is, like, brand new. It's got, like, every amenity in the book. And, like, it's actually beyond me that like Colorado State kind of stinks at football. Like they just seem like a school that should be better. Like they have the money, like they have a lot of students at that campus. I don't know what it is.
I think it's a Mountain West thing, because I for years have not been, especially when this NIL stuff started. And granted, maybe it kind of started at a bad time for him because pro sports just got there, but UNLV is like, you have all the NIL opportunities in the world there, and the marketing opportunities. And I mean, they look pretty good.
They
so
look
far.
Better. They look better.
Big game against Kansas.
Sluka Doncic, or whatever Blutman calls it. Sluka.
Kansas in the playoffs, so I need that to go well for them, kind of. Like, it's the one that gets the Big 12 and be a top 4 seed. But it's going to be a funny matchup. You had the stuff last year with the, like, when I talk to adults, I take my sunglasses off. Yeah. You had Travis Hunter getting injured and people freaking out. And Travis Hunter's like, oh, it's not that big. Like, it's football. Like, sometimes, you know, in the heat of the moment, you take a shot. It was Colorado State probably should have won the game.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Kind of blew it on themselves.
You had Jay Norvell debuting the mechanic shirt, which you said last year, you cannot make fun of someone for not taking their sunglasses off inside and wear a fake mechanic shirt that where instead of your name is the CU Rams Boulder or the CU Rams logo. That just cannot happen.
Yeah, another semi-meat like you're the first guy to get killed in an 80s horror movie, you can't make fun of anybody. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I guess a semi-meme matchup I almost went with is not so much of the meme itself in the game, because I do think it's going to be a good game, but the potential meme reaction on Twitter. If Florida State loses to Memphis, oh my God.
That is.
DJU is going to get bet. No, honestly, if he loses to Memphis, like DJU, another one of these like 6-year guys. You know, I think our guy Jason Eck had a great quote that I saw this week. It's, you know, people is always like, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. And then people use it anti-transfer portal. The grass isn't always greener. Jason Eck went on to say like, hey, why don't you wait until the grass is really, really greener? Wait until the grass is greener. Because, you know, you just see with like some of these guys, DJ, he had a good, I mean, we talked about it last week. He had a good setup at Oregon State, man. He had a real good setup at Oregon State. And not only that, do you think he would have had a better setup if he follows Jonathan Smith to Michigan State?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these guys that are good, like, are okay, decent, whatever. DJU is very highly touted. Mm-hmm. But you know they got out of a certain situation because it became toxic, and then he goes back to and winning at Florida State is great. Like if you win at Florida State, you're loved. But if you lose, and I personally think it's fair at schools like that, like you go there.
They're getting paid now. I brought this up last week. Like I can't even feel like that bad. Oh, they're just kids. It's like DJU's probably making six figures.
Right. So like. You know, more money, more problems. Like it is never going to be the same again for those guys. Like it's not, he's, you know, a true fresh, especially with how the stuff works now and with all the early enrollees and all that stuff. Like there's hardly ever, he's just a freshman, like blah, blah, blah. Like people are so in tune to it and like, he came to Nebraska, like Dylan Royal. People love him right now, but
I mean, shoot, you saw it with Bo Nix. Bo Nix started out hot and then played not even like bad football, but it was just like average to above average football, not like getting to where Auburn wanted him. But yeah, I went back and forth with my meme matchup between Colorado versus Colorado State and the Memphis Florida State game because Twitter will explode if Florida State starts 0-3. DJU memes, Feinbaum will jump in. Also, Feinbaum is a coward for not addressing that he guaranteed an Auburn victory. You shill man because you are an SEC mouthpiece.
I did listen today when I was at the gym. I was listening to Feinbaum and an Auburn fan called in and I accidentally exited out of it so I couldn't go back and screen record because I wanted to send it to you so bad. He called in, I think his name was Daryl or something like that. He's like, all I know is if Peyton Thorne in my side starts again this week, Hugh Freeze is on the hot seat. I had to get off the truck. Thorne in my side.
I got to give it to Feinbaum. The caller segment and the way he handles that is some of the most impressive stuff. Still an SEC mouthpiece, though. But yeah, that is it. I'm going to be watching the games. I'm going to be excited this week. It's kind of like the first week. I'll be in my new place watching football. So excited for that. And yeah, I've been traveling last week. So got to watch a lot of the games, but from a very uncomfortable folding chair until I went to the Oregon game. So it'll be nice.
And you did bring up. Yeah, you have to at least address. I heard rumors that Oregon's lack of polos is disturbing.
Yeah, I did. No. We got okay. Yeah, no. This will be the clip right here. Oregon for their fan base. How do I describe this? Oregon for their fan base is like, and oh my gosh. Okay, I'm gonna seem like a total loser because Boise State lost, and this is venting. But I have witnesses. I said this before the game too. Oregon's fans are like every 2018 like hype beast, like wearing like the matching socks with the shoes and the jerseys and the and the gym shorts. No one, I mean, you know me, man. You dress your best. You know, you rep your school with pride. You wear your game day polo. You know, I don't mind a jersey, right? I mean, it's the second best thing you can do, but still second best. The lack of polos at Oregon was disturbing. Now, I'm not even saying Boise State wears a bunch of polos for their fan base, but we sure as shit probably roll around 50-50 guys. You know, I was walking around that stadium. People seem to have their polos, especially the older crowd. That I think that's what surprised me the most, that the older crowd at Oregon is still like they weren't wearing polos. Like I saw like a 70-year-old in a Mariota jersey. I was like, stop. You need to stop. So yeah, that's what I had to address. The Oregon, step your polo game up. I know you have good polos too. I saw your student store. Like you have Nike. Start
Phil Knight
polos,
with
fella.
The school there.
Yeah. You can wear the best polos, although I will say I heard a rumor that you know, some of these big schools, you have like multiple brands. Oregon being a Nike school, they only sell Nike. Now that means they're not getting no Peter Millar Zuch. You know, they're not getting no Johnny O. They're not getting no Columbia.
I brought it up. So many schools would be so much better off if they went to Cutter and Buck, Peter Millar. That's my go-to. Comfort Colors. Comfort Colors has great T-shirts. But, I mean, we need to step up.
I mean, I love the – I loved when Boise, for I think 2 years in a row, I think before COVID, they had their Columbia deal, and there was some great Boise State Columbia stuff. I think that stopped, but if Boise State ever gets Peter Millar, I'm buying $500 worth. I'm
sorry. 100%.
I'm buying. They will, and Boise State will never do it. They'll never do it. I would prefer Johnny O, West Coast Peter Millar. But I know the real polo heads know what I'm talking about. The non-polo heads don't think I'm speaking Chinese right now because I'm just dropping these brands on you like it's nothing.
My thought on it, and I'll end here, has always been if you are planning on going out after the game, you look like a dork if you are a grown man. What I mean by that is you are allowed to go to the bar and drink and you're in a college jersey. NFL jerseys, baseball, all that I can respect. They just look better. College jerseys are clunky. They're just not. Yeah. I don't think they look good. And I mean, I love Kellen Moore. Stop wearing his jersey everywhere you go. Like it's
no, unless it's the super baggy gray shiny one. That's the only one that's allowed. That's the only one that's allowed. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, that's it from us. Zuch, anything else?
Nothing else. Week 3 should be good. This is one of those weeks, people, I'm telling you, that you might see some upsets because it's kind of an under-the-radar week because we've had opening week, which is always big with some big matchups. Week 2, you always kind of get that's when teams really, like almost everybody plays some shitty school. Week 3 is where it starts really kicking off and you start seeing some, I mean, Oregon State, who knows? Oregon hadn't played that great. So
we'll see.
Washington State, another good match. So just watch, enjoy football.
I'm excited.
It's going too fast already.
I know. I'm excited already. And I'm enjoying it. We have to savor every week. Thank you guys all for listening again. And we will see you next week.